Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. As I continue this morning in just our worship time unto the Lord, I want to complete chapter 17 of Matthew, the book that we've been going through. And this message is just perfectly timed as we come to the end of the year. We've been going through this book in January. We'll resume from Matthew 18, but this finishes Matthew chapter 17. I'm so loving this text, how it lines up with a message for the end of our year as we prepare ourselves for 2024. So the title of my message is this: Take On No Offenses. Take on no offenses, but stay focused on the supernatural. Is that good? Pray. You could preach at yourself, couldn't you? Praise God. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 to 27. Here's the message. On their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" "They tax the people they've conquered," Peter replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. So go down to the lake, throw in a line, open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us." Thank you, Lord, for the word. Folks, a long life's journey, you will always encounter people who find every reason to create an offense. And they will draw you in while you're not even noticing. And so here in this text, Jesus points this out in Matthew chapter 17, verse 26. And he says to Peter, "Do you know what? We don't want to offend them." Basically, Jesus was in the right. They were in the wrong. Peter was in the right. They were in the wrong. But Jesus, like, "We're not going to argue over a little temple tax or even a coin. So you know what? Let's not let this offense come upon us." Because offenses should never dominate our life. They're real. They're difficult. They demand something of us. They can change our perspective. But we then have the responsibility to alter our perspective so the offense never destroys our spirit. How many people know offenses come quickly? And Jesus found himself caught in a tricky position where he could have easily been offended that these folks were asking him. Do you know who was asking him? The temple tax collectors. "Doesn't Jesus pay taxes?" And the temple guys, they already knew the taxes were paid, but they're trying to make an issue. Do you know people who make an issue out of nothing? Come on, folks, talk to me. And you're like, "What is the issue?" And there's an issue. And you're like, you're at loss for words because none of this makes sense. And so since Jesus was a citizen of the land, he in those days, well, now we are taxed. But in those days, they only taxed those they conquered. So we must have been conquered. International Canada is the most taxed country, so we are a conquered people. But we will free ourselves in the supernatural today. But he knew the laws and he knew what they were trying to do. And so Jesus, he didn't counteract with them. He didn't argue with them. Peter came in the house. He didn't allow Peter to come in and be flustered. You know when someone offends you, they fluster your life? By the time you get home, you're snapping at everyone. Have you ever noticed when your dog and your cat hides under the sofa? It's like you keep your offense by yourself. but everyone else gets caught in it. The minute Peter came in the house, you know Peter was very sharp, right? So Jesus is like, okay, Peter's going to lose it now. Let's just, Peter, don't say anything. Don't take it on. And so folks, we're going to come to the point in our life where we choose to do something about the offense, but what we should choose to do is ask God for a supernatural intervention. We're going to talk that through today. We're going to allow the natural to be diminished and the supernatural to take over. So what Jesus did was he took the power out of the offense. Folks, you got to take the power out of the offense. Offenses come. It's the enemy instigating something to render you powerless. But when you take the tooth out of it, when you take the power out of it, the enemy loses, everyone wins, and unity remains. Can I hear an amen this morning? In this coming year, folks, let us work hard to overcome all things. Anything that causes emotional pain, long-lasting hurts, lifelong stresses, offenses that can cripple your spirit and create disunity, take the power out of it. That's what I'm asking you in 2024. Take the power out of offense. Because you know what? Everyone is easily offended these days. There was a time, whether you be Newfoundland or West Indian or different color, you could joke with people. Do you realize you can't joke? You're like, I was just joking. That's not a good word. Oh, give me a new dictionary. And do you know what I'm talking about? And it's increasing. It's increasing. And the next generation growing up in school, they're going to have to know every little word and nuance. It's stressful on the next generation because everything, you've offended me. And we brought that into the kingdom of God rather than take the tooth out of it. We now, everything, you walk past me. I didn't see you. Folks, do you realize our minds are so busy? We're so taxed. How many of you, you put everything in front of the door just so that you could never forget it? Why are you laughing? Because our minds are so busy, we step right over it. Like, oh, there it is, okay. And then we're driving down the street, you're like, how many times have we been trying to slap sense into our head? But folks, that's not the problem. We're so stressed. It's the church. I'm looking forward to tonight's message, which is I'm going to be talking about reshaping culture. We're going to reshape the culture by the way we respond to things because we have now acclimatized to the culture of the world, and we're now letting the culture of the world dictate to us our Christian principles, which is wrong. We deal with things in the supernatural. In this coming year, take the power out, step into the supernatural. The enemy is rampant. He is wicked. He's divisive. He's evil. He's stripping the church of its strength, and he's using the best people he can find. Why? He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to get you on the left and get you on the right. He's not omniscient, but he's timeless. He knows our behavior. He knows what irks you, and he's going to allow the church to irk the church until no one wants to come to church. Are you with me this morning? God is with us, and we will overcome all things because of his mighty power. And that's why we must stay focused on his supernatural intervention on our behalf. Jesus sent Peter to catch a fish. And that when he went to catch a fish, he said, the first fish you catch will have a large coin in his mouth. Peter was a fisherman. I'm not sure what message translated in Peter's head. Go catch a fish and then go sell it like you do fish. Because imagine Peter thinking, okay, you want me to catch a fish? That I'll do because the last time you told us to catch fish, we got a whole boatload. So I'll go catch a fish and then I got connections. I'll sell the fish. We'll pay the tax. See, Peter might have had a different translation. Not have coins. Okay, folks? Fish cannot have coins. Are you with me? So why is a fish, and not even a little coin that it swallowed in water, it says what? A what? Come on. a big coin. How did the fish get such a big coin in his mouth? And he didn't say, and then if the fish has such a big coin in his mouth, it's a little bit more difficult for the hook to catch the fish. So Jesus is saying, you know what, Peter? We're going to fix this. I'm not going to just let you go get a coin from the house or a coin from someone. I'm going to go let you get it from the impossible. Folks, begin this year to say, God, show me the impossible in this answer so that the person that I'm dealing with will see God is in the midst of us. Amen. For we are never alone when we're doing God's business. We're never alone. Do you know what I love about this fish story? The tax collectors asked Jesus, or asked Peter, doesn't your master pay taxes? And Peter's like, yes, he does. And Peter comes in. Jesus sends Peter to get the money out of the fish's mouth. Then Jesus says to Peter, go to them and pay whose taxes? Say it loudly. Go pay everybody. Go pay yours and pay mine. Do you know what? When you take the offense out of the offense, everybody around you gains. Everyone wins. Because offense doesn't just affect one person. It affects the community you're in. If I'm offended, you're going to have to choose between me and him. Yes? So then even friendship lines change. Come here, Nate and Jade. Quickly, this is a good one. They just got married this year. See, Nate, your mother's driving me crazy. So then Jade has to decide, do I be like a good wife and daughter-in-law or just a good wife? Talk to me. Well, we should be both, but let's be real. Can I just remind us that when we are offended by one, it never affects one. And that's why Jesus says, pay it for both of us. Because when we get offended, then she's got to decide, well, he's upset, so I gotta be with him. You know, they're cuddly cute right now. But the other offense is when you as a couple have another couple that offends you. Then your other friends have to start deciding, which couple do we stay with? Because if I don't stay with them, they could be upset. And if I go with them, they'll be upset. Folks, we never affect one person with an offense. We affect those around us. I need you to get that in your spirit. Because sometimes the enemy's like, it's just me, I'm just upset at this and I'll get over it. You never are the only one affected. But everyone is on edge and the enemy laughs at us. So here's the story. Jesus says, Peter, so we don't offend them. Go pay it for us. It was never about all of them. They were just trying to get Jesus. And folks, when the devil's trying to get you, he's trying to get those around you. Are you hearing my message today? So don't forget, you're never alone. No matter what the situation, good, bad, or evil, unconscionable or whatever it is, remember who is with you. I love these two stories, and I'm going to quickly share them with you. One of them is from, I'll come back to Psalm 121 in a moment. It's one of the stories is of a nun called St. Teresa of Avila. St. Teresa of Avila was a radical Catholic nun in the 1600s. And what happened was she kept wondering, why do the monks get these nice garbs? And all the women who came to be nuns had to wear almost like crocus bags, these brown nothings. And she decided all the nuns are going to dress in beautiful white garbs. Well, that did not settle with the monks, because they're like, no, they came here to serve and be servants, and so they should look like they're dead. And Saint Teresa of Avila decided to take on the entire community in Catholicism right up to the Pope. This woman in the 1600s took it on right up to the Pope. She was beaten, she was ostracized, she was shut down, and every step of the way, she made a statement which is very, very well known and pronounced in life. She would say this. Here's what she said. It's a statement I want you to hear today. Let nothing trouble you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. He who possesses God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Please take out your phone and snap that. For that is a statement that St. Teresa of Avila, she reminded us, let nothing offend you. Let nothing frighten you. Sometimes the offense is because we're frightened. We're frightened of what others think. We're frightened of how it's going to turn out. And fright is fear, and fear is of the enemy. She said, let nothing frighten you. Folks, another writer said this, don't take anyone more seriously than you take God. When you take God and his word seriously, no one else is so serious that they should devastate your life. And there have been many people, your life has been sabotaged by people, what they've said or how they've offended you, and you've lost so much ground. Take the ground back through the power of the Holy Spirit and watch how God is going to transform you. Hallelujah. So I want to share this second story with you so that we take the higher road at all times. It doesn't matter who wins as long as Christ is glorified. Here's this other story that I want to share with you. I'm going to share them back to back, although I don't have it that way, guys. I shared this once before, but because it's transformed my life, and I know it to be so real in my life, I want on this last day, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, I want you to tie these stories with the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. If everybody else is going to run and do things just to remember it, remember this today. I will not let anything or anyone offend me. It won't stay in my spirit. It'll come, but it won't stay in my spirit. This story, which I've shared once before, but I need to share it today, is of a man whose name is Jama. It was in 2014 in South Africa as I took a tour of Robben Island. Robben Island is where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for 25 years. We hear a lot about Nelson Mandela being imprisoned for 25 years, but there were hundreds of others with him who were also imprisoned. Jama was imprisoned at the age of 15. He was a student in high school, and they had come down through apartheid. Apartheid was that rule. Oh, I won't explain it. You can look it up. They had come down with a rule through apartheid called the Bantu Education Law, which was going to suppress all the black South Africans, and so they would not be able to study because they'd have to do it in the language of the Afrikaans, and they did not speak that language. So many of the students began to protest the Bantu law, and Jama at 15 was one of the organizers for his school, so he was arrested and also put into Robben Island prison where Nelson Mandela and the other political prisoners were. Many were like that. Jama served over 25 years in that prison, and at the end of it, 25 plus 15, he now has been released when Nelson Mandela was released, but he does not have the continued education to be able to get a job. And so Nelson Mandela protected those who were held this way by allowing them to get jobs at Robben Island, which became a tourist destination for us to go and see. And so you could tour the prison to see how Nelson Mandela was held in his cell and the little dog shed that they put them in and stuff like that. And so they're all tour guides there. And it's amazing to see so many of those prisoners back in the place where they spent 25 years being beaten. Now they're giving tours. And so as we're walking around and going through the different cells and the different places and the mess hall that they ate and everything like that, here's what happened. This European lady with no, we shouldn't say someone has no brain, but brain was on freeze. Brain had malfunctioned. And she asked him such an offensive question about why they were upset at being there. And the rest of the tour were thinking, did she see the dog cage? Did she see the place where they kept them in the winter and made them chip stones without having coats? Did she see the cave they all had to go to use as a bathroom where there was no bathrooms and they all had to use the same cave and just be messing on top? Did she see the little 2x4? Did she see the dog's pen where they kept the big dogs so no one could escape and the dog's pen was bigger than the rooms that they put there? And she's asking, why are you so upset? Well, you folks who know me know there's something in me called the spirit of slap, given by God. I felt the Holy Ghost rising up, the spirit of slap. I was about to give her a double portion of it. And so rather than do that, it was super offensive how she, and the place just froze. It was a whole bus tour of us, and we just all froze. And so rather than let this tension remain, I spoke up. And I was trying to help him through this moment. And I said, Jama, after spending your life in this place with such atrocities against you for doing nothing wrong, how do you deal with people who now offend you? Wasn't that good? Shouldn't that be framed? He changed my life. And he says, this is what he said. He says, with so much of my life taken up from evil and hate, I have learned to never let anyone or anything ever offend me, because that will take up more moments of my life. I'm going to read it again. I wrote it in my diary, and so I'm reading it to you how I wrote it in my diary. With so much of my life taken up from evil and hate, I have learned to never let anyone or anything ever offend me, because that will take up more moments of my life. Folks, let nothing and no one offend you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that God, that comes from Christ, rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Folks, let nothing and no one offend you in 2024. Let's change the trajectory. Let the life lessons that we leave to the next generations be about right thinking, right believing, and right behaving. Let us remember what to do when offenses come. Sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Make allowance for others' faults. Many times we forgive ourselves, but we don't forgive others. But let's forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. Jesus said in Matthew, let's do this supernaturally so no one is offended. Folks, we're going to get ready in the next seasons of our life to do everything with a supernatural intervention, because we're going to submit our way unto the Lord. We're going to submit the offenses unto the Lord. We're going to ask God to help us sing a song in the midst of persecution, to stand with authority in our hearts and minds that reflects and represents Christ, so a next generation doesn't keep getting offended. Children now are speaking offense. They offended me. Kids are killing each other because he offended me or he did this. Have you heard some of the reasons they stab in schools? They looked at me wrong. We, the church, gets to change it by the way we behave. How do we behave? We change a trajectory. We begin to praise the Lord in the midst of our chaos. We begin to look at each other and say, something else is going on in your mind. We don't forgive each other and we don't know what's going on. Someone may have said something to you, but they're cross at somebody else. Why don't you put it into the supernatural? God, whatever is going on there, I bless them today because I'm not feeling what they're feeling, so I can deliver them in prayer. He is the God who's able. We're going to stand together right now, and you're going to sing this song, Unshakable, because when you hit those moments, you're going to not let anyone, but you're going to say, God, you're unshakable. I might be shaking, but you're unshakable. I might want to change how I deal with that person, but God, you're unchangeable. So Lord, let me learn to live with love and forgiveness so that we become the church that reflects the power of Almighty God. And whatever is going on, would you go through the memory bank? There's some people you need to forgive and you need to do it, but would you call their names out? Because if we don't choose to do it now, we're letting a generation live out the anger, the animosity, and all the things. We are keeping it held up. And Jesus said, look, Peter, don't come in and get flustered. Go out and do the supernatural. Watch what God's about to do. Go out and see the supernatural.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.